Recording live from the Hoban Law Group here in Denver, Colorado, I'm your host, Eric Singular. Welcome to the Hoban Minute. I'm sitting alongside Mr. Bob Hoban, founder and president of the Hoban Law Group, and today we're talking about spreading love for the cannabis plant. It's a perfect time to be doing so here, Earth Week 2021, and right on the heels of 420, and we're joined by a perfect guest for this episode, the founder and CEO of Loving the Plant, Jesse Cox. Jesse, thank you for being here with us this afternoon.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. And before we jump into the exciting things going on in your world, you mentioned yesterday that you were at an event to celebrate 420, to actually see people again. Just give us a sense of what it's like after a pandemic-laden year being quarantined. And I know California was very strict, very, very regulated around the shutdown. So the energy of being around people again and celebrating this plant, what did that feel like yesterday when you were out there?
Definitely. So yesterday, Loving the Plant put on a very fun event on Hollywood Boulevard. And we had Vessel Brand, which is a Vessel battery company based out of California, and Greenhouse Herbal Dispensary, which is an amazing dispensary. Actually, it's Greenhouse Herbal Center on Hollywood Boulevard is their official name. They are an amazing dispensary, one of the oldest dispensaries in Hollywood, in fact. They've been around longer than anyone else in that area, and they have incredible deals on their different cannabis products, which actually surprises me. A lot of people came in yesterday during the event from Beverly Hills, from all the way from Santa Monica, and even Pasadena. So knowing that they have other options, you know, right in their backyard, but they're driving up into Hollywood to come see Greenhouse Herbal Center is pretty impressive.
Well, given 420 was yesterday, as we talked about, and given the fact that, you know, that things are starting to come back a little bit, people are starting to get a little more comfortable getting back together again. And it was exciting to see there were numerous gatherings here across Denver. And as Eric mentioned, unfortunately, we're facing some snow right now, but that's springtime in the Rockies. But there's some good news afoot, a couple of different things. I'd love to get your comments on the importance of these things and just your perspective on some of these things. And then, you know, we'll dive a little bit into some of what you do with Loving the Plant and just a little bit about your background. But current event-wise, the NFL came out with an announcement in the last 24, 48 hours that it will not be drug testing its players in the offseason, particularly as it relates to cannabis. Could you talk a little bit about that and, you know, how that intersects with some of the work you've done and continue to do?
Definitely. I actually have been studying CTE for over 10 years. I actually really started getting into it after there were, you know, different Hollywood films and different celebrities getting involved. And I started to really research it and connect, you know, the stories, and they really resonated with me. I do have a lot of family members that suffer from different types of cognitive issues, and they found cannabis to be quite helpful. And I would always think to myself, if I could just get in with these guys and help them, you know, understand the value that cannabis can have for each individual case, then maybe there could be some change in these guys' lives, you know, long term, and not such a dark story that has been basically proven time and time again. And when you look at the different players that have access to cannabis that also have CTE, their stories are much different. They're thriving. They're, you know, being able to, you know, manage their own brands. They're, you know, retiring in ways that maybe they weren't able to retire before, especially if they were being given opiates and other types of pain relievers, you know, that really, and at a professional level, there's no real checks and balances for them. That's all that they're offered. And I'm hoping with the NFL, you know, not testing for marijuana, this is going to start really helping the players long term, not just on the field, but also off the field.
Well, so can you talk for a little bit about some of your work that touches on that topic for our listeners?
Definitely. I specifically work with different cannabis brands who create different types of formulations. And the types of formulations can be a CBN formulation or a CBG formulation. Also, you know, there are multiple cannabinoid-based formulations, but I'm just going to focus on these two. They are very, you know, positive for anti-inflammatory. And when you're talking about CTE, vaping, an anti-inflammatory that has, you know, CBN or CBG will give you an immediate relief. There's definitely anecdotal evidence that can point to multiple instances where someone puffs on a vape pen when they're feeling like they're about to have, you know, an episode. And by, you know, puffing on a vape pen three times within 5 minutes, they're able to really find a way to calm down and bring themselves back to center. And I really think that there's some medical evidence behind, you know, why that works. And we're working with different researchers to really pinpoint exactly where in the brain vaping these different types of cannabinoids is really kind of factoring in, so we can have more empirical evidence as well.
And that's a critically important thing, as you mentioned, with CTE and just, you know, generally speaking for athletes. I work with the Athletes for Care A4C organization, and they've been pretty good at disseminating information to players and former players and sort of aggregating players, because as you're aware, when folks are in their respective leagues, whether that's the NFL, the Major League Baseball, or NBA, or another sport altogether, it's not exactly popular and oftentimes frowned upon to talk about those types of things. And a lot of it comes out after the playing days, and that is unfortunate, but it is an opportunity to put that information out there and to sort of help folks talk about cannabis use.
Definitely. Well, the symptoms of CTE are definitely lethal. I mean, they have an extensive list, from paranoia, memory loss, confusion, impaired judgment, impulse control, and also, you know, another ranging list of aggression, depression, anxiety, suicide. And so sometimes people think, oh, well, you know, they're just going through these normal stages in life, but they're actually more compacted because it's something deeper. It's CTE, and they need to be addressing it from a completely different level. So you're right. This is a huge moment for everyone who supports NFL and cannabis to, you know, really push this a little bit more forward and say, this is something we all stand behind, and this is something that really the NFLers deserve.
Yeah, no, different forms of treatment, particularly with natural therapeutics, absolutely. So let's transition not so subtly to another topic, another current event, something exciting that also we're talking about as it relates to banking, and the Banking Act being advanced at least through the House and our federal government, and with the prospects that this potentially does come out of the Senate this time around as a bipartisan measure. Talk about your experience in the industry and the importance of banking and banking access to marijuana dispensary-like outlets and businesses as a whole.
Definitely. And we're talking about the entire foundation of the cannabis industry, whether you got into this, you know, in 2010 or you're getting into it right now, the banking laws are basically the same. And so, you know, people have had to, and I have had to personally create bank accounts that are, you know, very different types of naming nomenclature than what is typical when you're creating an entity and getting a bank account. We own a trimming and harvesting company in Oregon, and we had to register it under SaskTown, and the business LLC was under Cannabis Sask. And we had to tell our trimmers not to go in right after work to cash their checks and to take showers and change their clothes, because otherwise our bank account would be turned off. And we did have our bank account turned off multiple times, and it was constantly a challenge for us, because every time a bank account is shut off, you have to start over an entirely new payroll system. And it just becomes, you know, pretty arduous and time intensive.
It's funny to hear you say that about the entering the industry now isn't very different in that regard to entering the industry 10 years ago, because that's so not true for so many other aspects of how the industry has grown. And that is just in such a stasis. And as you know, Bob, I know you've always felt and put out recently, the cannabis industry needs banking now. It needed it yesterday, but we'll take it. We'll take it tomorrow if that's the soonest that we can get it. But I want to really talk about loving the plant for a moment, because you know there's something that just makes so much sense about 420 and Earth Week being in this same little slot, in this same week, that we're really celebrating both. We were at the NoCo Hemp event this last month, and one, it was excellent to be around people again, to feel energy, feel the industry, and get to be around the movers and shakers. But it was also fascinating to see how hemp, the hemp side of the industry, has really embraced the conversation around carbon and really thinking about how this plant is going to feed into a sustainable future. And that is part of loving the planet. And it's also part about loving the plant. And looking over your website and reading about you and seeing your recent highlight in Forbes, you've been in this industry for a long time. You've been a long time activist of this plant, and you've had a lot of ups and downs. So that name, loving the plant, and that concept and that feeling that you evoke in your business, just tell us how you got there. Tell us a little bit about your story and why that just seemed like such a fitting name to put for your business.
Thank you. Yes, I actually came up with the name 2 years ago after we moved to California and had kind of gone through the ringer with a few startups, you know, top to bottom and then bottom to top. And I realized really what kept me going is that I love cannabis. Like, I can't leave it. I tried to leave the cannabis industry, and I tried really hard to turn my vision into, you know, a food concept and go away from the cannabis industry, because quite frankly, it's a rough industry. And a lot of the players inside of it, they have unscrupulous tactics. They're always looking for ways to cut corners and not do things right. And then you find some gems along the way, and they remind you why you're doing it. And, you know, then you make friends and you know, and it's a good thing. But there was a time after I lost cannabis staff back in 2019 due to the crash in Oregon, my husband and I decided, you know, we needed to take a break from the cannabis industry. And it was a very short break. And that was because I couldn't find myself working with any passion inside of anything else, unless it really had to do with cannabis and loving the plant. And it's so funny, because when I came up with the name, I actually shared it with one of my friends, and she's like, "Oh my gosh, I love that." And I was like, "You do?" And she's a cannabis influencer that's really well known. And she was like, "I actually really love that name." And she goes, "How'd you come up with it?" And so I'll share that with you guys. I was thinking about, you know, what we were going to do next and how it was going to pertain to the cannabis industry and how we could really elevate the different, what I call mid-sized brands that I think are often overlooked, but they're very ready for transition. Like, either they're looking for capital and they just don't quite have enough, or they're looking for talent and they just don't quite have the right people engaged yet. And I just thought, you know, the one part of the cannabis industry that I love the most is the people, and finding those people that are the gems of the industry. And that's really what I've been able to do over and over in each of my projects and startups, is finding the right people to create the right ingredients. Because we all know, like, the best dishes that we eat aren't just one, you know, note. There's multiple types of flavors that can create delicious foods. So I really took that concept and created Loving the Plant with this altruistic idea that if we serve everybody with the same amount of respect and the same amount of, I guess, focus and the same amount of, you know, excitement as we would the really big names, the Crescos and the Medmans of the world, that everybody's going to kind of be lifted by that. And with that concept, I started working with these small to mid-sized brands and just giving them free services that they otherwise wouldn't be able to afford. And our beta project of doing that for 12 months created this huge boost that these brands were able to go back and say, wow, I never realized that having this much saturation would bump my company to a level where we could actually see, you know, some real penetration into these regions. And I was able to really take those first beta clients and create a service suite that's really driven around engagement, driven around really loving the plant, being, if you're working in the industry looking for a job, or if you're searching for the right strain, or if you're looking for a celebrity to match with your brand who might want to put their, you know, license on your label and drive your brand a little further, we do all of those things. And so with that, it's been very successful. And I think it's because we really stripped away, you know, and I know you guys are attorneys, this might scare you, all of the contracts. And we just kind of said, let's do this on Handshake. Because I had a lot of contracts in the past and no one ever really honored them. And so, I mean, I was 350K in the hole after cannabis death. And so, you know, and I didn't go sue anybody because it's not my way either. And so doing it this way, we do it with a handshake and a hug is what we say. That was before COVID. So, you know, now we really just altruistically do these services. And it's kind of like the pay me how you feel what we're owed concept. And lately it's been really paying, you know, in really huge dividends, not just with a monetary value, but also with opportunity that otherwise we wouldn't have been given.
Well, and it is a place too, where people with good ideas and ambition and motivation oftentimes get stuck, right? You've identified that sweet spot. Some people are just not necessarily good at branding, and those that are good at branding don't necessarily have the time and the resources to sort of go out and maximize that. And by the way, I wanted to pick up on something you said, because think of the idea of doing business on a handshake. It is something that I think everybody wants to be true. And it sounds like you're experiencing that it can work and can be true. And I would note this as an
attorney. I would say it's 50-50, Bob.
Well, you want it to apply. And here, what I was going to say though, is it's not that you can't trust people, and it's not that everything needs to be done on a piece of paper, but here's the way I've always seen things go bad. I don't believe that most people are out to screw, for lack of a better way to put it, screw other people. I think what happens is something happens in somebody's life, whether it's a financial problem, whether it's a new boyfriend, girlfriend, other, whether it's a problem in the family or a problem in their life, and that causes them to get stressed, and that stress generally causes them to make decisions that are generally not fair to other people. That's why I always say you need to put something on a piece of paper. The simpler, the better. And, you know, I wish... And
that's really good legal advice.
It is. And it's not.
It's
and
like I'm on a call with some attorneys or something. Yeah.
Stay away from those attorneys. You never know what you're going to get. But at the end of the day, that's why. But I'm glad that you've seen and been able to have some success in that realm, because that service and that way of doing business is so critical, and really is, when you cut down to the heart of the matter, what the cannabis industry should be all about. What it began to be all about. And of course, it's gone to an enormous extreme, which also raises another question, is everybody talks negatively about big cannabis. And I'm somewhat agnostic about it because everyone seems to think that big cannabis means that the rest of us, folks like yourself that have worked so long and so hard and been dedicated to an effort, that all of a sudden this is a threat to people that have been in cannabis for so long. When in reality, big cannabis needs people like you, like us, like people that have been in this industry that are dedicated to the plant, because we've seen it fail the other way on the biggest of stages. I can't think of many Canadian companies that remain standing after the influx of cash over the last 3 to 5 years. And it's not because they didn't go out and bring good people in. They just didn't bring people in that understood the plant and understood how the industry worked. And they fell on their faces. So to me, that's Exhibit A. Going back to my lawyer background, that's Exhibit A as to why we shouldn't be afraid of big cannabis, because it needs to coexist. It needs to complement one another. Do you see that, or do you see it happening the other way around?
I actually agree with you. I love Cresco, for example, go on record saying that. They're one of my favorite people to work with. I've worked with Cresco, and to be 1,000%, they return emails, their prompts, et cetera. Very good corporate, you know, kind of thing. And so I have no issues there. I really feel like some of the rhetoric that we hear on like LinkedIn, for example, there's a kind of a group of people that really hate big cannabis, and they've created this kind of issue to, you know, highlight their, I guess you could say like unhappiness with some of these bigger brands that are getting ahead. And my advice to them always is, you know, really these large companies are paving the way for us in so many ways through legislation, through helping, you know, with advocacy, helping with, you know, putting in dispensaries and cities and towns where other people otherwise couldn't afford to. There's so much that these bigger corporations can give to us. And GTI is another really good example of a very well-organized, very well-respected, large cannabis company that I think they do things in a way that really replicates the smaller cannabis, you know, community in each of the states that they're working in. And I think that their overall plan is really something that big cannabis should look at as, you know, a model to model after.
Hmm. Well, I want to come back to one thing that you said just before we wrap it up, which is that you've tried to leave this industry a couple times, but you keep coming back and you have that passion for the plant, and it just, it fuels you. And I know sitting here, and I think this is true for the two wonderful people that I'm sitting here in the room with, I can't imagine trying to get away from this industry. I can't imagine going and working with a product that I am not as passionate about as the cannabis plant. So I absolutely understand and resonate with that. And I think a lot of people resonate with loving the plant, and that you've named yourself that way because you've stripped down the branding. You've stripped down the name of that company to just what unites so many of us. And thinking about the 150 episodes we've done here at the Hoban Minute, that is the common thread between all the guests that we've had on, no matter if they're lawyers or economists or, you know, really fun, colorful people or kind of boring, you know, more buttoned up people. They love the plant. Like, they are here and they are doing this and they are passionate for the plant. Everybody's passionate in slightly different ways, but it is, I think you've hit something really wonderful. And I want to make sure before we let you go, that we highlight, if you have anything on the horizon, anything that you want to promote, let our listeners know that they can, I want to let them know they can find out more about you at lovingtheplant.com. But if there's any way else that they can contact you or anywhere else they can listen to you, find you, please let them know.
Definitely. Lovingtheplant.com is the best place to find us. Otherwise, I'm excited to be on this show with you guys and discuss all of these different topics. And really the red thread in all of this is that we do all love the plant. And, you know, when I tried to leave the industry, it was like the blue time of my life. So anyone that's thinking about leaving the cannabis industry that loves the plant, maybe you just need to look at who you're working with and change the people you're working with, and then you'll love the plant again.
Works to the wise.
You got to take a good look around. Well, Jesse, thank you so much for joining us. We wish you the continued best of luck, and we look forward to hopefully doing this again and hopefully seeing you face-to-face sometime in California, if not Las Vegas, by the end of the year.
Definitely. I look forward to it, you guys. This has been really exciting. Again, thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Hoban Minute. Do you have any ideas for episode topics or guests? We would like to hear from you. Reach out to us at media@hoban.law and stay tuned for more on the Hoban Minute.